Claire Palmer, and welcome to the Punks in Suits podcast. Does work have to be this way? No, it does not. You can make a big splash in the world without sacrificing your soul to do it. Call it existential angst, a midlife crisis, or just the desire to have another throw of the dice. You're ready to rethink this whole work thing and configure a life and a career that really reflects who you are and what you care about. Together, we can do this. Together, we're punks in suits. Hello, and welcome to episode 58 of the Punks in Suits podcast. I hope you're very well. I've been wanting to talk to you about today's topic for a while. This is definitely the moment because last week I introduced to you the five-pointed star, that pentagram that we labelled passion, talent, impact, need and integrate. And that model is to help you to identify where your life and particularly your work might be out of sync at the moment and what areas you would really need to upgrade if you were going to have a life where work really blended and didn't feel so much like hard work. And it inevitably brings up the question, as soon as I share that model, of what isn't in the model. And that brings me to the topic that I have to talk to you about today, which is money. And the reason perhaps I've been putting it off is that money is difficult for me to talk about. And I have been concerned, not to reveal to you that I'm less zen than you might expect me to be or want me to be, but I've always struggled with the financial abundance concept, the idea that there's enough money out there or everything you need will come to you. Any of these things that you hear extremely highly developed, highly enlightened people talking about, I've really struggled with that over the years. And you might even say that it's got worse as I've become more established. The pressure to make it and the responsibility, in inverted commas, to be financially secure have increased over time. When I think back to how relatively easy it was to live on my first BBC salary, which was about £23,000, or even before that, when I first graduated from journalism school, and I think my first salary was £13,000 a year, I really have no idea how I did it, but I don't particularly remember going without. Now, or up until very recently, I have felt that the pressure to make money is huge. And I know from talking to my clients and talking to friends, to my network, that this is true for them as well. And there might be a couple of things going on. The first is that for some of those individuals, there really isn't enough money. So there's a huge pressure to make enough. And that's really shutting down their ability to be creative about what they might do, because frankly, they really, really need to make some money. And then there are people at the other end of the spectrum who have had very well-paying jobs, have become very used to living that kind of lifestyle. And the fear for them is they will have to sacrifice that if they want to do something or live in a way that they really love. If I share with you some of the reasons in my case, and these might very well resonate with you, why I've found it difficult to get into a mindset that says that there is enough financial abundance in the world. Firstly, I've had very good years and I've adapted my lifestyle accordingly, but it's been hard to sustain. So then I've ended up working very hard to keep it going and trying every year to sustain the sort of peak of my very good years. So some years it's been very easy to make a lot of money and my lifestyle's changed to reflect that. And some years it's been much more difficult and it's been very difficult to scale back my lifestyle enough that the pressure to make money has been reduced. Secondly, my ego. Money is definitely a symbol to myself, and I think to others, I assume to others, of my success and my worth. If clients knew that at any particular time you know, the business was not quite so financially abundant or financially stable, they might be concerned about working with me, but also they might wonder if I was really all that. There is definitely an assumption that, well, if you're good at what you do, you should be making money. And so there's a lot of pressure to demonstrate that you have worth and that you are successful by having the things that are associated with success, and money buys those things. Thirdly, life has literally got more expensive. I mean, this is partly to do with expanding my lifestyle to reflect those good years. But also, when I was living on £13,000, I didn't have a family. I didn't have a dog or two dogs and rabbits and a gerbil. I didn't have an expensive house. I didn't have insurance. My tastes were different in those days. There were things that I didn't feel I needed in those days that I do feel I need now. Fourthly, I have definitely developed a belief, or carried with me a belief, that if I don't focus on the money won't come. Now, that is completely opposite to the whole law of attraction idea of financial abundance. I have acted as if, and believed very deeply, that I won't do the things that are necessary, I won't have the motivation, unless I focus on the money, unless I have some fear about the money, and I have acted as if having that fear of money is the main reason I would get out of bed in the morning. And one of the reasons that this has got worse is because there have been some really difficult times in the business, and I'm carrying some damage from that. I'm carrying some hurt from times when it really was a struggle, and I have no desire to go back to that. So I have attempted to learn from the past and do the things I didn't do then, so I'll never have to feel that way again. But what that has done is reinforce a belief that I've always had, which is that you have to really focus on the money or the money won't come. Another fear or another belief that has kept me stuck around financial abundance, which you might recognize, is the future. So even when I have enough for today, I still wonder whether I'll be okay in future. I have quite a great need for reserves in the business. Some people have maybe 3 months of reserves in their business when they work for themselves. I like to have 12 months. And when it gets down to 6 months, I get very nervous. So I have fears about the sustainability of the business. I have a great need for comfort around that. And I definitely have fears about old age and being able to afford to be old. And the final piece around this, about what has stopped me being able to tap into this beautiful idea of financial abundance, is that when you don't have it, or when you can't guarantee you'll have it, which is very often the case in your own business, you slide down the hierarchy of needs. So it very easily becomes the only thing you think about. It's very difficult to rise up that hierarchy and sit at the peak of the hierarchy and be connected with a sense of purpose and a sense of self-actualization when you're wondering how you can pay the bills. Or even if you can pay the bills today, you're concerned that you can't guarantee that in future. And that's a reality when you're running your own business. So this is where I have been. And whilst I've worked very hard to tap into this belief that there is financial abundance in the universe, I have really struggled to fully embrace it. Most people, when they talk to me about the changes they want to make in their lives, whether that's about their next career move or starting up in their own business or trying to reignite their career after a pause, put finance right up front and central as one of the key criteria for any decision. And as I've just explained, I completely understand why. When I was in my 20s and looking for something else to do other than being a journalist, I had an idea for a catering company, and I love to cook and I love to cook for others. If you have a look on my Instagram, every now and again I'll post a picture of food. I'm a huge foodie, and had a great idea for a company that did partially completed meals that people could finish on their own at home. But I couldn't see how I could make enough money chopping courgettes or frying up some onions for people in order to make that business viable. Now, of course, there are plenty of companies making money out of that now, plenty. But this was 20 years ago, and my lack of business experience plus my focus on the money, not the idea, meant that my fears about having a basic income inhibited my creativity. Ironically, I thought too small because I was focused on the money. So I understand that financial concerns and making money part of the decision-making criteria feels very sensible. So why then, given all of that about my own difficulties around the concept of financial abundance and my own experiences around that, why have I left it out? Because this time I found a way to take money off the table long enough to give me space to find my true purpose. Now, I don't want to be trite about this. We hear people saying, when you love what you do, the money follows. This is part of the financial abundance mantra. But it's very hard to believe that. It feels like a massive risk. And whilst I've tried that, I've never been convinced enough to really go with it. So I've always compromised. If I do this for the money, I'll have choices to do things that are not for the money. That's been my kind of justification. But of course, it never happens because you're so busy doing the things that you need in order to get the money that you can do the things you don't need money from, that you never do the things you don't need money from. And you have to really believe when you do what you love, the money follows for it to be true. You can't trick the universe. You can't do what you love as if the money will follow when in your heart you don't believe it will follow. You're just going to live in a huge amount of stress. So what that looks like in reality is a bit like what I've done. So I've lived a life that is an expression of the kind of life that I want to live with all the costs associated with that kind of life, or certainly the things that I thought were important, trying to trick the universe into rewarding me by giving the money to sustain that lifestyle, when deep down, I really didn't believe that the money would follow, and therefore it's been extremely stressful and extremely hard work. Another thing that people say is that when you do something you love, you don't need material things. And yes, this may very well be true. And as a family, as you know, with our trip coming up very soon, we're getting back to basics because I believe that is true. We have a lot of ego tied up in our things and our lifestyle and our expectations, and people live on far less. When we see the hashtag van life stuff on Instagram, or people living self-sufficiently, or artisans who are some of the only people I've ever met who really love what they do, they have let go of much of the expectation and the ego connected with materialism. Their lives don't seem poor because they found ways to have many of the same comforts without the cost. So, for instance, solar-powered van life tribe, the costs are extremely low, and therefore they can live their lives without the need for that much money and love their lives because they don't have so much need for material things. But I'm not going to advocate poverty. I'm not going to advocate just doing without or not being able to pay your bills when living in a solar-powered van isn't an option for you right now, or isn't going to enable you to live the life that you love. The concept that I prefer, well, there are two actually. The first is, when you do what you love, the money doesn't have to compensate you for doing something you don't love. That makes sense to me. So when I look back at some of the accumulated material costs in my life, some of that was about compensating myself for the fact that I had to do, for instance, a lot of international travel. So for work. So ironically, I would use the money to do a lot of international travel with my family. But that was a compensation. Less travel for work would have meant more time at home and less need to compensate myself and my family for all those times that I was away. So when you do what you love, the money doesn't have to compensate you for doing something you don't love. But also, when you put the money up front and centre, you cannot think clearly about what is true for you. And that is why I think there are certain times where it's not valuable to think about the money. Firstly, when you are unhappy or unfulfilled in what you're doing now and trying to think of alternatives, you have to park the money. You cannot be honest with yourself about how you're feeling and what you want. You cannot complete the pentagram whilst you're also thinking about money. You will moderate. You will limit your thinking. You'll think, well, what do I feel passionate about that makes money? Or what do people need that is also lucrative? And that is just really going to inhibit your ability to be honest with yourself. The second time where it's not valuable to think about the money is where you sense that money is offering you an escape. So for a while, I was working extremely hard to make a lot of money so I could retire early. And my thinking was, if I can make a success of this, I can stop doing it. You cannot be present to your life when the justification for doing what you do is so that you can stop doing it. You cannot enjoy it, and you cannot be honest with yourself about whether you enjoy it or not, because the motivation is not enjoying it now, being present. The motivation is, I have to do this now so I can stop doing it when I'm 55. The third time when it's not valuable to think about the money is in order to do a good job. To do a good job, money cannot be part of your mindset. When you're pitching an idea to your boss, you can't be thinking about how it will position you well for promotion and a pay rise. The idea will not be your best idea if it's also tied up in you and your promotion prospects. When you're dealing with customers, you can't think about the cost of getting the right solution for them. It will cause you to moderate how well you serve the customer when it focuses on what's the most cost-effective way or the cheapest way for us to do something for them. When an offer is on the table to do a project or a piece of work and you're trying to decide whether to go for it and it requires some sacrifices, but there's money, you've got to stop thinking about the money aspect of it. You've got to take money out of the equation. Fourthly, fourth time where it's not valuable to think about the money is, in fact, any time where the money disconnects you from the 5 points on the pentagram: passion, impact, talent, need, and integrate. Now, you could say that money sits within integrate, because that integrate point on the pentagram is all about fitting well with your life. And you could say, well, my life has a cost, and so the right thing for me, the thing that really integrates, has to meet those costs. And to a certain extent, I think that is true. As I say, I'm not advocating poverty, and I think if you are going to start your own business, or you're thinking of taking a job that sounds exciting, you've got to work out what that's going to cost you. And you know, I'm not advocating, not only am I not advocating poverty, I'm not advocating being a bad business person, but for once in my life I have not limited my thinking because of the money. I found a way that money, at least for the short term of the next year or probably the next two, doesn't have to be a factor. And what that has meant is, instead of trying to convince myself to have a different mindset, which I've been trying to do for, you know, 18 years or something like that, and unsuccessfully, instead of doing that, I've found a way that money just doesn't have to be a factor, that I feel safe and secure without making any what feel like sacrifices to me. So in my case, it's a bit of savings, it's a bit of investing, it's drastically cutting our overhead and learning to live on a tight budget with a camper van as our backup home. And it means that for 12 months at least, I don't need to close deals or take work that doesn't align with my pentagram. Any income over the next year is a bonus, and I'm not distracted by having to sell or market anything that my heart isn't in 100%. When I was first thinking of rejigging and reconstructing my business and thinking about shaking up our lifestyle. A couple of people said to me, maybe you should rejig the business without changing the lifestyle, and then you can do something about the lifestyle later. And I was very clear in my own mind, no, I need to cut the ties with anything that makes it tempting for me to do work for the money. I need to make it very, very easy for me to make authentic choices. And the best way to do that is to give myself a sort of basic cushion of income, which is the savings that I'm going to be using, cut our overhead dramatically, and live a life that feels really authentic so that I feel that I'm aligned with the work that I'm doing. It'd be very difficult, wouldn't it, to coach people on living an integrated life if my life wasn't integrated. This might not be the right option for you. I'm not saying you have to sell your house and live out of a van so that you have supposed freedom. That would not be freedom for a lot of people, and it isn't an option for everyone. It's not the solution that I'm advocating, but the thinking behind the solution. And the question that I asked myself and that I'm encouraging you to ask yourself, how can I make money not an issue anymore? Or how can I take money off the table as something that I need to worry about? How can I stop working for a living and work for something else? You have to make money a non-issue. Now, if you can do this with a shift of mindset, that is brilliant. There are many massively inspirational people who are genuinely living with a belief in financial abundance, and it's totally working for them. The money comes, the riches in life that aren't financial come, and they don't waste time worrying about money. But I had tried and failed at that, so I had to get practical. I had to literally make money not be a factor by choosing a lifestyle that would not feel it was being chosen because it was cheap, that wouldn't feel like a financial sacrifice, and that completely took financial pressure away so I could reset. You will not be able to take the road less travelled while you're still holding on to conventional notions of money and financial stability and wealth. You cannot make all of that part of your thinking. So you need to find ways to take money off the table as a factor, and a world of opportunities to live your true calling will open up to you. This is a topic that I will definitely come back to. I must admit that I hope that my sense of financial abundance will increase as I live the next 12 months and beyond. I'm hoping that not needing money and throwing myself into work that I believe in 100% will mean that actually it's much easier to make money than it has been in the past. I'm also hoping that that I won't associate money with success anymore, because we're just not going to be living that lifestyle. So I'm hoping that a lot of changes will occur within my mindset over the next 12 months. But the only way I think that's going to be possible is to get rid of the very genuine fears I have about money, which is to create a situation where my needs are very, very small, my financial needs, and where there's enough money for us to live this basic lifestyle without me having to worry about money. And I'm going to really encourage you to do something similar, to ask these questions. How can I take money off the table as something I need to worry about? How can I make money not an issue anymore? How can I stop working for a living and work for something else so that I can really be true to myself in the choices that I'm making in my life? That's it for today. I hope there's been a lot of food for thought there. I hope it hasn't been too complicated. I know I've weaved around a bit, but as I've said, this is a subject that I find quite challenging myself, and I am hoping I get more clarity and I'm able to articulate things even more clearly as the months and years progress. Please stay in touch with us. Please let me know your own stories, your own brilliant adventures. Let me know if you'd like to talk to me about anything that's going on for you. I'm often available for that. And we don't hit the road for another couple of months, so I've got quite a lot of time. Things are quite stable at the moment. So do drop me a line or give me a ring. And also, please go on to the iTunes page for this podcast and leave a review and a rating. It really, really helps people to find us. With information about how to do that, here's the lovely Ivy Palmer.
We'd love to hear from you. You can stay in touch with us on Instagram at Punks in Suits and on our Punks in Suits Facebook page. You can also sign up to our newsletter at www.thatpeoplething.com. I'll say it again. www.thatpeoplething.com. You can also find out more about working with Mummy as a speaker or as a coach on that website too. And please leave a comment and a star rating on iTunes. Please 5 stars before it's 5. Go ahead and do that now, as it helps other people find this podcast so that they can reveal more of the punk underneath their